Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live, not from the Robert Allenby studio, but from Grego's kitchen. Welcome to the Sports Detention Podcast. I'm here, your host, Grego, with my co-host, Poddy. How you going, Pod?
Grego, I am wonderful, mate. I am wonderful. And why am I wonderful? Tell the listeners.
Is it because you're staring at dishes that haven't been cleaned or...?
No. That's standard in my house. It's because the footy's back, mate. Oh, it's because the footy's back.
Absolutely. Yeah, so for the listeners who are wondering, the Robert Allenby Studio is out of action this week, so we are coming live from Grego's kitchen. Apologies for any audio issues or whatnot. Actually, I'd like to apologise to absolutely nobody.
Nah.
Mate, big week of sport.
Oh.
Big week of sport, especially the footy. How good was it, mate?
Mate, I absolutely loved it. Oh. It was brilliant. We will get into the NRL and all things Las Vegas very soon.
Mate, what's caught your eye?
Just a real quick one from me. Caught my eye, and I'm not going to mention this in my other sporting headline because it's not big enough. I've got something bigger to tackle then. But Cameron Smith, mate, he's ranked 44th in the world, and he's not happy about it. There's all sorts of dodgy things going on with the LIV and the world rankings, and it's going to cost him, or it looks like costing him, his Olympic dream.
Oh.
So, you know,
I had high hopes for him in Tokyo.
So did I, mate. Yeah. So did I. Look, mate, the show goes on, and we have to press on. It's out. Am I wrong in saying it's in Paris this year?
Paris, yeah. Yes. So, yes.
You know, it's looking like Cameron Smith won't be there. Yeah, I guess you'll just have to satisfy yourself with pockets full of money.
I mean, he could possibly buy all the gold medals and just create his own.
Exactly, exactly.
But, well, unfortunately, we won't be seeing Kim Smith because it was the Tokyo one. That was just off the back of his British Open win, wasn't it?
No, I don't
or
think
was it beforehand?
Before,
was it?
So,
okay, yeah, I wasn't sure. I knew he was in red hot form.
He was in red hot form. I think he might have picked up the British Open in, and we call it the British Open here. I mean, we're traditionalists, if nothing else. In 2022.
So is it the Woke Brigade that turned it into the Open?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go with it. Let's go with it. Mate, what's caught you all right?
Speaking of Woke, racing presenter Kate Tracy has come out swinging this week, and she's, just come out and mentioned how she's developing thick skin. So she, Kate, she presents for Sky Racing.
Sure.
And, she's obviously said she's been dealing with online trolls who, you know, have been commenting on the way she likes to dress. And, look, I mean, you've clicked into that and you can see the images of Kate Tracy there.
Yes.
Mate, could I just mention to the listeners who obviously can't see this, if I was Kate Tracy, I would possibly have the thickest skin ever when it came to people criticising my look. She's an absolute 10, Potty.
Yep.
I don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, how this has become an article. But, I mean, oh dear.
Yeah, you know, look, I tell you, I
don't like those boots.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't reckon the criticism is going to be too vocal, to be fair with you. Look, let's be honest, if Berta was here, it'd be right in the Who Cares report.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it certainly
would. I mean, Kate, you know you're a 10, so don't worry about it.
That's right.
And, reporters, find something else to write about. Speaking of something else to talk about, mate, let's get straight into it. We're going early this week and we are keen.
The Rugby League final was a big Wembley occasion. Oh, get that in here!
Rightio, Potty, the Rugby League chat, mate, and obviously a massive weekend.
Headline of the week, number one for me. It's Vegas, baby. What did we think? What a great show, Grego. I just thought it was absolutely fantastic. 40,000 at the Death Star. That's what they're calling it, the stadium, the Death Star.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, and by they, I mean I heard some bloke call it once. So
now it's
the Death Star.
It's gospel now.
Yep. Must have been a Star Wars fan. Mate, I just thought it was absolutely fantastic from the football to the pre-game, all the build-up, the media. I think it's there to stay. I think the Americans loved it.
Yeah, I think there's been obviously a lot of talk after the event saying, you know, how great it was and obviously looking to grow and build upon it. And I think that's all positive talk. I think the big thing for me, though, is, geez, isn't it nice being a rugby league fan in the world of Peter Vlandy's we can do anything we want in rugby league?
Yep, I agree, mate.
So, you know, in comparison to what we've had in the past where it was just all too hard basket.
Yep.
It's just it's so refreshing.
And he's got ambition, and people have knocked him in the past because he makes changes, particularly to the game rules, too quickly. But I tell you what, he gets things done. He's increasing the rugby league portfolio as well. I heard this week, I think I read it just yesterday, they're buying a hotel up on the Gold Coast.
Oh, yep.
Yep, so which is adding to their portfolio, which they added something to last September as well, something up at the, I'm going to say, Sydney. They bought it in Sydney. So for years, rugby league basically was this living off the TV rights deal, had no assets, was building nothing.
And it's amazing, isn't it? All it took was to get a Greek involved.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just go-getters. Mate, absolute go-getters.
I loved it. Peter Vlandy's came out the other day and apparently said that his goal is to get rugby league in America playing on a Saturday night. So and they asked him about it. I say, how are you going to go about it? And I'm standing next to Murdoch at the moment. So, you know.
We're on our way.
Yeah, we're on our
way. I mean, I don't know if you've met this guy, but he owns everything.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so I love it, mate.
And I don't know if David Hill is still head of programming at Fox over there. He was there for years. So a lot of people don't realise that I think it's David Hill.
Hilly.
I could be wrong. Yeah, so David Hill, he's an Aussie, and he's been running Fox Sports in America for nearly two decades.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people don't realise that, you know, how much of an influence that, you know, Australians have had within in the American media, obviously on the back of Rupert Murdoch.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Murdoch.
You know, owning Fox, you know. It's, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But I think all positives coming out of there, mate. It was a fantastic weekend in Vegas.
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful.
Rightio, my first headline, guys. He may divide opinion, but there is no doubt he can put on a show. Brooks lit up Vegas. Not Garth Brooks, Luke Brooks.
Luke Brooks.
You know, he put in some vintage classics, some of his hits like Taking on the Line, Letting My Hair Down, and No Longer Steering the Sinking Ship.
Oh,
have you heard of those hits from Luke Brooks, not Garth?
Not Garth. Yeah, mate, Brooks, he was good. And it just looked like he was that player who was had a weight off his shoulders, didn't it? And do you know what he had to do yesterday? He had to run. He had to run the ball, make his tackles. Now, simple.
Now, I know he's a Queenslander. He's a grub. Nobody likes him. Dally Cherry Evans. But doesn't a performance like that yesterday from Luke Brooks really highlight how good Dally is?
Yeah.
Like, you think about it. Like, he just did all the organisation.
Oh, mate, it pains me being the Queenslander he is, and I've got no time for Manly either. I mean, who does? Besides there, you know, a couple of thousand supporters who happen to walk a few hundred metres down the road to watch a game but won't go anywhere else.
Right,
anyway, enough of the Manly bashing for now. But Dally Cherry Evans, he has not got enough credit for how well Queensland have gone over the last few years.
That's
Munster
true,
gets
yeah.
the headlines, Caelan Ponga gets the headlines, Reece Walsh gets the headlines. The reason Harry Grant gets the headlines, the reason why they can pop up anywhere they want and do whatever they want and just be in any position, one side of the field, the next, is because Cherry Evans sits there and says, you go do whatever, I'm going to steer this ship. Doesn't cop the headlines, doesn't get the spectacular highlight reel. But
And it's even like they don't even appreciate him in like Queensland, certain areas of Queensland, like the Gold Coast and stuff.
Yeah.
Like they don't even fancy him too much there. I've got no idea why.
Well, it's really ordinary. They've been holding something against him for years now.
I think he's almost at the end of that 10-year contract now.
I think he's actually getting bloody close. So maybe the Titans will sign him.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we look at the Manly performance, which I think was great, Brooks will, you know, he'll get a lot of shine from that. But I think just when I was going through the match, and I tipped the Bunnies, so, you know, I was hurting. But I just looked at the match and I thought that Manly just had more variations to their attack. You know, South Sydney was so reliant on Luttrell.
Yeah.
And, you know, the moves coming out of Luttrell and Cody. And, you know, when you looked out wide, you know, Tommy Turbo was sniffing around. Croker was really penetrating through the middle. But on out wide, you know, you had Reuben Garrick and Kohler just running amok, you know. And when you compare that,
talent. Yep.
You know, when you compare that to what the Bunnies were offering out there, you know, they were crying out for a Campbell Graham yesterday.
They were crying out for Campbell Graham. Young Munro, who's done his hamstring, I think, in the trials. He's a talent. He's going to come into the wing at some time this year very, very quick. A try-scoring machine. But, yeah, they're lacking a little bit out wide at the moment. Manly, very good in the first game. I'm left underwhelmed by their middles. Jake Trbojevic, you know, enough said. Jakey Trbojevic, what a player. But is it Paseka?
Yeah.
And then I'm not even sure who their other starting middle is. We might be looking at...
So I think it was Aloia.
Aloia.
Yeah,
he was... So, for me, they're going to struggle to match up against the big guns. They're missing a really big they're missing some fire in the middle, if you ask me.
But I feel as though that they did enough yesterday to match it with the Bunnies pack.
Yeah.
But the problem for Manly is the lack of depth in their pack.
Mm.
So if things, and, you know, it's hard enough keeping Tommy on the field.
Yep.
But, you know, if their forwards start getting a bit thin,
yep.
I think some of those young forwards may struggle to, you know, to hold their own against more experienced NRL packs.
Yep. But a great start for them. Exactly what Siebes would have been after, exactly what the Manly supporters would have been after. But who cares about them?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, mate. It's making me sick here, but we'll stick with Manly. Turbo Tom. Now, a report came out just before the game, maybe a day or two before the game, that Turbo Tom should sit out Origin and give back to Manly.
Mm. I've got another idea. How about he sit out Manly and just
play Origin,
win us an Origin?
Exactly. I mean, only one word for it. Please, you are joking.
Mm.
For starters, if he plays all three Origins, that's about 90 grand in his kit. So he's not sitting out Origin. Secondly, what is he, 25, 26? He's entering the prime of his career.
Yeah.
Thirdly, no, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't owe Manly that. Like,
well, they've been, you know, let's be fair, Dinkum. They've been, you know, substandard, the thought process coming out of Warringah since Tony Abbott hasn't been, you know, lost his seat in the last election. You know,
exactly.
I'm thinking, you know, it's getting so woke out there that they think that they can take Tommy Turbo off us for Origin.
Yeah, they're absolutely kidding. But why don't
it's
you
a
just
joke.
Let's let him play for Queensland then.
Oh, mate. Oh, yeah. They would. Oh, at least he's in Maroon.
Yeah, at least he's knobs. Oh, we absolutely love Maroon. No, sorry. It's not like Queenslander would ever want a New South Welshman to play for them.
Not a good one.
No, definitely not.
Rightio, mate. Roosters break the round one Blues with a big win over the Bronx. Mate, harder to pick than a broken nose, the Roosters. The Chooks, mate, they have let everyone down in round one for, you know, decades.
8 out of the last 11 they've lost, and they've only won one in the 6 years since Teddy's been there. Yeah. How could you tip them?
Yeah, you can't.
Well, I didn't.
Well, I didn't either, and it cost me. You know, the Broncos look good on paper, and I think they put on a pretty good performance. They were a bit, you know, scratchy in certain areas. You know, I don't think that final pass wasn't coming off at all times. I thought, apart from the fact that the commentary team was just consistently talking about how good everyone looked,
oh, yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Teddy did look good, though.
He did. And they weren't talking about sexy eyes Reece Walsh either. Nah. They were talking about the football.
Yes. But I think Teddy, Joey Manu, Sualihi, they were tremendous. I think, you know. When you look at the Roosters, since Cooper Cronk has retired and left the Chooks, their strength is never going to be in the halves. You know, they're basically, their strike comes from Teddy, comes from Joey Manu, who I think Joey Manu needs to play wide. He was devastating yesterday.
He was.
I think Keary and Walker can be their halves, but, you know, you've got to, you know, temper the expectations if you are a Roosters fan. You know, your points are going to come from those players out wide. Sualihi, Manu, your wingers and Teddy.
Yep.
Like, if they can get around that,
yep.
I think the Roosters will start coming to terms with how they're going to possibly win a premiership this year.
Because they came in, Sammy Walker came in with such praise before he'd even played a game and then came in and, you know, had the highlight reel immediately with a very nice long passing game and, you know, tough for a little fella as well. I think everyone was just waiting for when he'd become Nathan Cleary.
Still are.
Yeah, well, he's not going to. And there's no shame in that.
Like, that's true.
You know, there's no shame in being as good as he is. But if fans are waiting, and Robbo's probably a little bit more cluey than that, like, you know, if you're waiting for him to turn in a Nathan Cleary to win your premiership,
you'll be waiting a while.
Well, you know, just buy Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, well, that's, yes, that's what Uncle Nick might have to do.
Yes.
Look, I think kudos to the Roosters pack. They stood up with, obviously it's a, you know, it's a different pack to what the Broncos turned up to the grand final and you know, did well with last season. They have got a couple of losses, but I think the Roosters pack stood up, especially without JWH there.
They did, mate. I will say for the Broncos, they lost Keenan Paliasia, who was on their bench in the grand final. They lost Flegler. So two of their best four, and then after 2 minutes, Brendan Piakura got knocked out as well, and Paddy Carrigan had to move to an edge. So they were basically playing with Payne in the middle and nobody else from their grand final.
Yeah.
So people are throwing the daggers into the Broncos, saying it's going to be it for them.
Oh, no. It's round one.
Yep.
Give yourself an uppercut. Look, we will touch on it. I probably, if you were going to ask me this question yesterday, I probably would have had a fair bit more to say. We've had a conversation today about it. I'd be interesting to get your thoughts because I made some comments where I just don't know if you're vibing with me on it. So about the race gate, you know.
Yep.
So obviously there was, it's been reported. So you can see it on social media, the reference of a monkey.
Yeah.
To another player. Spencer Leniu is obviously the player and Ezra Mann, the recipient of that comment. Where are you on this one, Potty?
Oh, I think I'm sitting where most people are, like the comment itself, and it is alleged at this stage.
Absolutely.
It hasn't been proven. So
all I've heard, and to clarify that, is the players responding on the field from Channel 9 footage saying he's called him a monkey.
That's so, right. And as far as I know, Spencer hasn't come out and said, yep, I did do it. And
no, so he admitted that there was words said and he said he didn't feel as though he had anything to worry about. That's paraphrasing at the end of the game.
So we'll let that play out as it goes. But if it has happened, I think I sit with everyone. There's no place for it. And I think Spencer would be pretty disappointed, as would the Roosters be disappointed in the comment.
Yeah.
And as I said, we've got to let that play out to see really where we land from that. I really wish that it hadn't taken the headlines away from a spectacular weekend.
So the thing for me was, and I stand from the point of view is I'm exhausted by it. You know what I mean? There's not a racist bone in my body, and you know, but I'm really, really exhausted by. And I understand why it is in the news and why it's continuously pressed is because there's an ambition to eradicate it.
Yeah.
But I'm just consistently exhausted when the narrative comes back to this, you know, and I'll go back to, you know, the reaction on the panel at the end of the match.
Yeah.
You know, I was a bit like, just let the NRL deal with it and then speak about it once it's sorted, because it's all allegations now and it's taking the shine.
Yeah.
But I go back to also too before the All-Stars match, you know, when the media had an opportunity to speak with certain athletes from the Indigenous side, such as Latrell Mitchell, and it came back to old stories of receiving racial abuse. And it was nothing about the football or the fact that there was an amazing opportunity for them to demonstrate their culture.
Mm.
You know, but it seemed as though the journalistic narrative was to push it towards, let's get a headline on this thing.
Oh, that's definitely how it feels. Yeah.
And to me, I'm just exhausted by it. I'm done. You know, I'm completely cooked. And, you know, yeah, you can, you know, throw shade at me and go, well, you're a middle-aged white man who, you know, hasn't got skin in the game. Say what you will. I can still tell you that I'm bloody exhausted by it.
Yeah, so I agree with you from the point of view of the media and the narrative that's come out of it. I wish that it would be – there's an investigation taking process.
Absolutely.
This has not been swept under the rug, and it's not, oh, it didn't happen, we don't want to take the tarnish off Vegas. There is an investigation going on as we speak. I'd prefer that we wait to see the outcome of that before we go into before we start seeing headlines.
So basically what we got was we got Channel 9 – getting an emotional response from panelist, you know, which is, it doesn't help anyone.
No.
You know, it doesn't help anyone. That's where I stand on that one.
Yep.
All right. You know, so all in all, back to the positives, Vegas, mate.
Yep.
It was a winner.
Mate, and they have some big shows in Vegas, don't they?
Big shows in Vegas. So there's plenty of winners in Vegas.
Plenty of winners, mate.
What?
Oh, hold on.
Here we go.
Hold on.
Okay.
Mm.
What?
Well, Potty, you've got a question, mate.
Mate, I have a question. So, Las Vegas. You've been to Vegas, Gregor?
I have been to Vegas.
Yep, I've been lucky enough to venture to Vegas a couple of times myself. Mm. Hell of a time. There's always a show to see in Vegas, isn't there? We had a little bit of a chat about this off-air earlier. You can go see some magicians, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
David Copperfield?
The old residency.
Yeah,
Copperfield,
the residency.
Blue Man Group.
Oh, yes.
Cirque du Soleil.
Stop it.
Now, but I remember from Vegas, mate, I went midsummer.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the beauties of Vegas is just going into the shop on the side of the strip and buying a can of beer and cracking it and walking down the street just enjoying it.
Yep.
Midsummer, mate. I reckon I got about 10 metres outside the shop and it was hot.
Yeah.
The beer was hot.
Yeah. Well, I went the opposite. I went in the dead of winter. Yeah. I was there in January. So it was it froze on the air.
It gets cold there. People don't realise. It's Vegas. It's
very
freezing.
Cold, very cold. So, mate, here's my question to you. Regarding these shows, who are the top three Las Vegas music residencies that have earned over $100 million gross?
Okay, so we're talking music residencies. So Copperfield's out, because Copperfield's been there forever.
Yep.
Siegfried and Roy, they're out as well.
They're out as well.
Okay.
So, look, I'm going to give you a bit of a hint here, mate. Each of the top three I actually poached from a list of top 10 residencies in all of America.
Okay.
And they all featured on the top 10 list twice in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're talking about current earnings of $100 million gross. So really the big one you're thinking is Elvis. But Elvis wouldn't have been sweeping home $100 milli back in the day.
No.
Mm, so it makes it harder. It gives me some... Yeah, there's got to be, some... All right, the first one I'm going to go for is Celine Dion.
Mate, you have nailed it. She is actually number one and number two. Celine.
What, both?
Yep. So she had a show back in the early 2000s and then again later in the decade. And, she's top two.
Celine, mate, she's got some bangers.
She does.
Britney Spears?
Britney is number three, mate.
Yes.
Well done.
Oh,
Britney Spears. Yep, she's very popular. Everyone goes and sees Britney when they're in Vegas.
Okay. They couldn't have earned that sort of money.
Who are you going to go, Greg?
I was going to go Human Nature.
No, it wasn't Human Nature. They were actually playing when I was there.
Oh, mate, and how shit was their anthem? Oh. Like, I mean, when you sing the national anthem of Australia, you don't have to sound like a college a cappella group.
Yep. This individual is a lot bigger than Human Nature.
Okay. Are we talking bigger in size or bigger in stature?
Probably bigger in amount they've earned, bigger in their profile.
Okay. Elton John?
Elton John, mate. Is that you it? Nailed it.
Oh, Elton John. Mate, I didn't even know if he'd done a residency. Oh,
has he ever? Elton's done a couple, mate, and he is popular.
Mm.
Have you ever seen Elton?
No, I haven't seen him, mate. I
haven't seen Elton.
No. He's a massive Watford fan.
He's a massive Watford fan.
Yeah.
What?
Watford. Yeah.
All right, mate. Well done. Well done. Had to slip that one in there for
Vegas.
Well,
very good, mate. So you've been catching up with any streams this week, mate?
So last week, mate, was all about the footy for me. So my wife's a big football supporter as well. So we watched the programs leading into that, and then we jumped on the games, obviously. But we did catch Jagged last week. So my wife, not only being a big football fan, do you know who else she loved?
Well, Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. Absolutely loved Alanis Morissette.
Jagged Little Pill. Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah. And, yeah, so anyway, it was the story of her life. I think Music Box produced it, so we watched it. And it was a really good story, but it took you through, as you'd expect, her hits and how her career evolved over time. Had a lot of a lot of her former band in there. Taylor Hawkins was in there, obviously, before he passed.
Yeah.
And but it spoke about her as, like, she was about 11 when she started breaking in, and the struggles that she had when she was coming in, and the criticism she copped, and also, like, some of the comments and the pressures that her management would put on her about what she wore and what she ate and things like that. So
yeah,
it was a really interesting story
and an interesting time too. Obviously, the mid-90s when she really hit prominence. So
So I wasn't the biggest Alanis fan back in the day, but the wife was. So gave that a watch, and I've got to say, interesting enough.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm still working my way through NASCAR, mate.
Yeah, mate.
And look, I picked the wrong career.
Yeah.
I'll probably have a bit more to report back next week on NASCAR, but it's going good. I mean, as we say, Netflix doesn't miss.
No.
Rightio, mate. Bit of all sport. Not a headline. Rightio, give me a sec. I'll fix that up. Rightio, so just to reiterate, we are coming live from my kitchen. So, the buttons, the things, it just doesn't...
It's all a little bit unfamiliar.
But, just because it's all gone pear-shaped, mate, I forgot to mention the footy tipping, mate.
Oh.
We didn't even go through the footy tipping. So the footy tipping comp has kicked off, and thank you to those who have joined us at the Sports Attention Podcast, footy tipping. Mate, how many tips did you get right?
Zero. Zero from... Two.
Yeah, I got zero from two as well. But we have two leaders currently in the Sports Attention Podcast, footy tipping. The Midnight Swingers got two out of two.
Mm.
And Josh Portelli has also got two out of two.
Well done.
Fancy being a Chooks fan.
Yeah.
It's probably going to help things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, sometimes life's just kind to you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, as I sit right down the bottom, congratulations to those two who... Currently a flying high.
Yeah. I always start the year terrible in tipping.
Yeah.
Yep.
Imagine putting a joker on the first week.
Oh.
Rightio. So, fight talk, mate. I talk about it all the time, Potty. You know, just those cards that nobody knows about. They slip under the radar and they're just absolutely bangers.
Mm.
There was one yesterday.
Was there, mate?
Yeah, there was. I was actually, obviously I was...
I thought you were going to say it was not yesterday.
No. I was balls deep in the rugby league yesterday.
Mm.
But I was able afterwards to then throw on the replay of the UFC Rosenstruik versus Gazeev card. And there was some bangers. Some knockouts. Obviously, the main event, Jairzinho Rosenstruik, he ended up getting the finish against Gazeev. It was a good heavyweight fight. It was like one of those, it was almost like watching World Star again, you know, just a good old-fashioned street fight.
Oh, loved it.
Yeah. However, some unfortunate news for Aussie fans with Tyson Pedro losing via decision and announcing his retirement.
Yeah, right.
Penrith's finest, Tyson. Yeah. You know, obviously, and it was funny, he had his interview at the end and he was just talking about, you know, and you look at his record, and since he broke into the UFC, I believe 7 years ago, he's probably had about, you know, on average a fight a year, you know, like it's, you know, there's been injuries within that time, and, you know, at the end of the day, he's like, I'm broke. You know, I'm broke. I've had a professional career. He's been a, you know, and obviously sponsorships will come a long way in that sort of realm. But, you know, for fighters who have had bad luck with injuries like him, you know, he's coming out of the back end quite beaten up. And unfortunately, you know, it's not off into the sunset like you would hope for athletes like that, is it?
Yep, he's... Back to work.
Back to, well, he's got a few things. So obviously he's intertwined in with the Drink West brand, the brewery brand, and you know, and obviously you would hope that there's some presenting and some other avenues, because he's such a well spoken man and such a knowledgeable mixed martial artist. You'd think that possibly there would be avenues on the Australian circuit where he can you know, share his expertise as it continues to grow here. Steve Erzig, the other Australian on the card in the flyweight division, got a knockout. It was a cracker. Hitting with the left hook, you know, just an absolute peach.
Yep.
It was beautiful to watch. But other performance of note, Mohamed Mokaev. Now he won his fight, but it was obviously it was a points decision. Umar Nurmagomedov as well, just very wrestling heavy, those two fellas. But the winner of the day had to be Oliveira, who won with a flying knee in like the last 20 seconds of the fight. It was an absolute ripper, and flying knee straight on the chicken chow mein and out. You know, switched off the lights. So, you know, some really good fights. If you do get a chance to go back and have a look at the replay, if you've got, you know, your KO Sports subscription, you'll be right there. Plenty of entertainment this week for fight fans who might have missed that. But looking forward to this week, mate.
Oh,
UFC 299. I am, mate. I tell you what, I'm hard as a rock, mate.
Oh, he's flying.
And now I've just made everyone sick thinking of that, but I don't care. Sean O'Malley versus Chito Vera too. So do you know much about Sean O'Malley?
Little bit, just from the research we've done in his previous fights.
So, yeah. So Sean O'Malley and Chito Vera fought before.
Yep.
And Sean O'Malley has come up. He's been unstoppable, really,
yep.
Other than, obviously, Chito Vera. However, he suffered an injury due to a low calf kick in that one, where he's – and it's your peritoneal nerve, which goes down through the bottom of your tibia, and which feeds, obviously, the muscles of the area. When that shuts off, you basically get drop foot.
Yep.
So, and what happened is he got drop foot and he couldn't feel his foot, so he couldn't stand, and then obviously it was he got finished because he was unable to defend himself. So at the end of the day, that's Chito Vera's win.
Yeah.
There's no denying that. You know, he was able to, you know, land the strikes that finished the fight. However, you know, O'Malley, in his O'Malley fashion, is like, no. That was a fluke.
Yep.
You know, he's gone on, he's won the title, he's won it convincingly against Aljamain Sterling. So, you know, there's been no blemishes since. But they're going to run it back this weekend. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not too sure what the line is. I'd assume that O'Malley is the favourite for that one. I'll just double check. But, look, there's some other really good fights on the card. Let's have a look at the line here. You'd think it'd just jump up, wouldn't you? Here we go. O'Malley, Chito Vera. So the other fights on the card while that comes up, obviously Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis. Now, this is a danger fight for Poirier. Obviously, at the lightweight division, he lost his previous BMF bout against Justin Gaethje, but Benoit Saint-Denis is no joke. So he's basically... The UFC has paid Dustin Poirier an absolute mozza to go in there and take this risk, you know, because the title shot's not on the line, not really in the window due to his previous loss, but it might just pop back up if he puts away Benoit Saint-Denis. But Benoit Saint-Denis is a French fighter coming up, ready to go, looking to get a big name on his record so he can then make that title run. So that'll be an interesting fight. Does, you know, does the vet, who is as bad as ever, you know, put him away, or are we looking at the rise of a new potential contender? Kevin Holland, Michael Venom Page is another one, and then obviously for Aussie fans, Jack Della Maddalena versus Gilbert Burns, which is a massive fight. Massive fight. Gilbert Burns, former title contender, ranked number 4. Jack Della Maddalena ranked at 11. So you think if Jack gets that win, I mean, he's jumping a fair space in the ranks.
Yeah.
So big option there. And obviously the final fight on the card, which is, mate, it just gets better. Petr Yan versus Song Yadong. Like, the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Just, look, UFC 299, let's just call it UFC violence.
Yeah.
It is going to be UFC violence on the weekend. So,
mate, you are frothing.
I'm ready to go. Ready to go. What do you got, mate?
Batting crisis. Aussie cricket is in the middle of a batting crisis, I tell you, Grego. Travis Head, Marnus Labuschagne, Steve Smith at opener. I'm not happy. We might have a real problem here, Grego. Now, look.
Hold on a second. Are they still playing cricket?
They're still playing cricket, Grego. They're still playing cricket. So, look, people are going to have a bit of a chortle and a bit of a laugh at me because Australia's been winning.
Yep.
We've been winning off the back of our vicious bowling attack and Nathan Lyon doing what Nathan Lyon does in the back half of innings. Our batting attack is sporadic and all over the place. Now, Cam Green came back into the team. I was never critical of Cam Green coming into the team. I was critical of the way they brought him in. He got a century over the weekend, so well done to him. But I just want to go through some stats with you, and we're going back to the Ashes last year.
Yep.
Steve Smith, Marnus Labuschagne and Travis Head all have only 100 to their names in that time, and I think they each have 350s, okay?
Hey, is that... stats, or is that the Fibonacci code? That
that's the Fibonacci code.
That is, look at the numbers on that page.
So we've played New Zealand in one test, we've played Pakistan, and we've played the West Indies. I want to go through the last 10 innings for each of these players for you. Marnus Labuschagne. Now, these are innings where we thought they'd be cleaning up. 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 1, 60, 62, 63, 4. So he's had a fairly lean trot of it. Travis Head. 29, 1, 0, 0, 119, 10, 17, 0, 40, 14. And Steve Smith, since he's been at opener, 31, 0, 6, 91, 12, 11, 38, 4, 26. Mate, there is not a lot of batting going on. And we're not playing India. We are not playing in the Ashes at the moment. We are playing countries that we should comfortably beat. We got done by the West Indies at the Gabba. The Gabba.
Yeah.
We got, like, all due respect to the West Indies, but they're not the team they were back in the late 90s or the 80s. New Zealand, well, we got over the line there, but it wasn't as clean as you'd think, given our bowling attack. We've got India coming out to Australia this summer in a 5-test series, and then next summer we've got England coming out so we can defend the Ashes. We need to get this sorted. Steve Smith, the starter, has got to go from opener. And Marnus and Travis Head are currently living off their reputation.
Yep.
Something's got to happen.
You're the selection committee
head,
mate. What changes are you making?
Well, for starters, I'm bringing in an opener, and I'm probably going to bring in Matt Renshaw. Mm-hmm. And I'm bumping Steve Smith.
Well, that's what you called for initially.
Yep. And I'm bumping Steve Smith back to number 4.
Okay.
Marnus at this stage has to stay at 3 because I don't know who the next genuine number 3 is. Travis Head given current form, he's taken a rest at the moment. He's already been sat down from the one-day hero. He was sat down from the 2020 team, I think, a couple of weeks ago because he hasn't been in great form. At the moment, the Australian selectors want him to come good and they want Marnus to come good, but it's starting to get to a stage where they're going to have to make a hard call, because if they don't soon, they're going to be playing next summer. And people will say, oh, champions, they find a way to come good. You can't throw them out as soon as they start going through a bad patch. Well, these numbers, Grego, they're starting to tell me, and I only read out half the numbers to you, they're telling me that things are going south.
Glenn Maxwell.
Maxie.
What's happening with Glenn? Has he got himself out of hospital yet?
Yep, I think he's out of hospital.
Yeah, I thought I'd just double check on
that. He's always out of hospital for the time the IPL comes around.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Got to have your priorities in line.
Anyway, mate.
Rightio, mate. My headline, the Christian Horner story, mate. What do you know about the Christian Horner story, Potty?
Oh, not a great deal, to be honest with you, Grego. What do you got for us?
Oh, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Look, the F1 season kicked off this weekend in Bahrain. However, the Christian Horner story was really what was taking the headlines. Now, Christian Horner, for those who have watched the Netflix series, you'd be very familiar with him as the husband of Ginger Spice.
Yep.
However, there has been some, you know, obviously reports in the media talking about, obviously some issues within Team Red Bull, where Christian Horner was acting inappropriately to a female employee, hence through text and the like. And this over the, or prior to the weekend's races, was investigated, and then it came back with a ruling that there was nothing really to answer for. There was nothing that had been, brought to light that could, you know, put F1 in a position where they'd have to stand him down. Now, it does make you realise, though, when you go into the F1 world, as to how much of a shark tank it is, because every single team called for Christian Horner's head.
Yep.
Because they're darn good, Red Bull. So they know, well, if we can put some unrest into the Team Red Bull, we can, you know, probably take advantage of this. So anyway, it has come out over the weekend again that there are some more texts that have been revealed. So basically, we're back at the starting point with it. So essentially, there's obviously text coming in here, and there's a couple of reports there. One of obviously talking about how he'd asked the female employee around what she was wearing, talking about Spanx. So obviously, she was wearing Spanx, but then the colleague had responded and said, no, they're just leggings. And he said, no, but it's what's in them that counts. And he's onto something there, Potty.
Yep.
When you think about it, because if she's got a dong in the Spanx, there's a big difference there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a genuine question. Yeah. You know, so obviously it's hilarious because, is Christian Horner, and I know nothing of the man, I like him. I got to put it all my cards on the table here. I like the person who's portrayed on the Netflix series. I like the story with Jerry Halliwell. I think it's, you know, it's good. It's good stuff to watch. However, is Christian Horner a perfect human? I can guarantee he isn't. But, you know, when I look at this and then I look at the attacks that come from Toto Wolff and the like saying, you know, we need to deal with this. The integrity of F1 is riding on this. I think it's just an absolute shit show and it's hilarious.
Yeah, you're suggesting that they just want him out.
Absolutely, yeah. They're just trying to, you know, poke the bear. And you see it in the Netflix series. They're always into each other, like putting protests in to, you know, to shit stir and stuff like that. I think that, you know, this is it's a pretty grievous way of doing it, but I think it's just more of that. But, anyway. Will we get anywhere with this? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I think Christian's probably, you know, the biggest punishment he'll have is he'll probably have to go back home and speak to his wife about it.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, so the Christian Horner story, I don't know if it'll be the last we hear of it. But, is it really worth what we're seeing in the headlines? Probably not.
What? Oh, here we go. Hold though. On. Where is
this? Okay. Yeah. What?
Rightio, the Christian Horner story, mate. It got me thinking, and this isn't about the potential of one of the Red Bull employees having a dong while wearing Spanx.
No.
This is more about addicted to winning and women. Okay, ranking the top five infidelities in sport. Mate.
Here we go, here we go.
So what I'm going to do for you, Potty, is I'm going to give you some infidelities that have occurred in sports, and you're going to rank them as they come out.
All right.
1 to 5, okay? Five, obviously, being the least heinous, if you can even say that.
Yep.
And number one being the best.
Yep.
Okay, first one. Now, it's coming in hot, mate, and you don't know what it's... This was really easy to do because there's a lot of
athletes... There's a lot of stories out there.
There's a lot of athletes who have played up like a second-hand lawnmower.
Yeah.
Let's get that clear. Okay, the first one, the Tiger Woods affairs.
Oh, I knew you were coming with Tiger. That was huge. That was... Yeah, so, golf club to the Mercedes.
Tiger Woods, it turned out that he had, not only was he, you know, the greatest golfer of all time, but he also had 15 mistresses and just a lazy 121 nighters for Tiger. And once Elin, his wife, Elin Norgren, an absolute dime piece herself, she found out she absolutely flogged the piss out of Tiger and his Bentley with a putter at their Florida mansion. Where would you rate Tiger Woods affairs, mate?
Mate, this was a huge
story. 1 to 5.
I can't give it. It's just
he's not gonna. Oh, are you getting tricked here?
No, I'm going number two.
Number two. Yeah, okay.
Number fantastic. Two. I'm gonna leave that top spot.
Okay. Second one. John Terry and Wayne Bridge saga.
Oh.
So the infamous non-handshake saga was a result of John Terry sleeping with Bridge's girlfriend whilst married. They were also teammates at Chelsea at the time.
Mm.
The British tabloids absolutely loved it, Potty, as you can imagine. But it all came to a head when Manchester City, who were now the team who employed Wayne Bridge, travelled to Chelsea Stamford Bridge with Terry and Bridge on the opposing sides. If you can remember, they walked through the handshake and Wayne Bridge refused to shake John Terry's hand.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I'm going to go with number... I'm going to put that at 3.
Number 3. Okay, the next one. Wayne Carey and Anthony Stevens. Okay, another...
Oh, that was an absolute
bunch of former teammates who decided, you know, well, it's a part of the team. It's a team sport. Teammates and great mates fell out after Kerry was apparently caught with Stephen's wife, Kelly, in a toilet at a house party. Kerry, a North Melbourne Kangaroos legend, swiftly then left the club. And remember, he went to the Crows.
They got caught in a bathroom.
Apparently so. Yeah. Look, this is all allegedly because I don't know. But
We'll run with that.
Yeah, we're going to run with it. Who
cares? Look, you know, I'm going to put that in. It was a big story, but I'm going to put it number 5 because, you know,
number 5.
AFL.
Rightio. Bodine Thompson and Belinda Medlin. Do you remember this story? So former Titans, Tigers and Warriors player Bodine Thompson, who also represented a plethora of Super League franchises, found himself in the public eye when his former stripper partner and baby mama called him out for stooging on child support. So what happened after that was the story got better because it turns out that Belinda was actually servicing a few more of the lads and she was involved in what could only be described as gangbangs with the whole team.
Oh.
And Bodine just unfortunately zigged when he should have zagged and now he was the father of her child. And this, I think this ended up like a current affair.
Yeah, I think it did.
They were chasing him all over the place when he was playing for the Toronto Wolfpack. Where do you rate that one, mate?
Number four. I'm saving number my top spot. Bodine, that was a big issue there for Bodine and there was a fair bit of media scrutiny around. But
okay. So the final one. The Tim Payne sexting scandal, mate. So leading to the resignation... as Australian cricket captain, this scandal was more big news for cricket. But what is often underappreciated is the woman in question in this issue was 49 years of age. So what also revealed itself in this issue was that Tim Payne is the type of bloke who'd be hitting the dance floor at 3 a.m. looking for a cougar. That's what we found out of that. not only is he no longer the Australian cricket captain, I mean, he likes the older girls. So Tim Payne, that's number one, mate.
Oh, beautiful, mate. Timmy Payne, that is number one, and I'm very happy with that.
Okay, honourable mentions, mate. Ryan Giggs sleeping with his brother's wife.
Yep.
I mean, that's always going to hit hard. Mitchell Pearce, remember he cancelled his wedding?
Cancelled.
Cancelled. I think it's COVID, mate. Yeah, I think that was one of his responses. Yeah, nah, COVID, mate.
COVID, mate. COVID.
No, mate. You were trying to hook up with the physio.
Yeah.
And a final one, mate. You might be surprised at this one. Martina Hingis? So Martina Hingis, according to her ex-husband, T-Bar Hootin, he mentioned that he went up to his hotel room one day to give Martina a surprise, and unfortunately the surprise was on him.
Oh, beautiful.
Actually, or the surprise was on Martina. Yeah, I don't know. Either way.
Beautiful, mate. I love that one.
Ah, very good, mate. I'm trying not to die. I've been talking all day. But anyway, killing me today. Rightio, mate.
Presenting the undisputed, the undefeated.
Rightio, mate. The internet is undefeated. Just a couple to go through today. Rightio, the first one is bomb threat in Kansas, mate. I'm just making sure this Bluetooth is hooked up. Obviously, being out of the studio. So here we go. Have you seen this one coming out of Kansas, out of a Home Depot, mate?
Alarms for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting.
That is brilliant. So he's obviously made a comment in Home Depot. So for yeah, our listeners, Home Depot, that's essentially the Bunnings of the USA. So anyway, he's gone into the Bunnings shitters and he's basically, oh, I'm gonna blow this thing up. And they go, oh, it's a bomb threat.
Yeah, it's a bomb threat.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he's just going in there to drop his lunch.
Rightio, the second one we've got and the final one is Dad spends $25 to fly to Ibiza for a 24-hour party, but all he had was his clothes in an Asda bag, so which is like a Woolies bag. So he's got on the plane and gone over to Ibiza in Spain from the UK, and all he's taken was carry-on but in a plastic bag.
Well done. Well done.
I mean, how good is that?
I'm very happy with that.
Oh, I love these stories, mate. That is why the internet is undefeated, mate.
Mate, beautiful, beautiful. Mate, we rocked back up with the punning this weekend, didn't we? We decided to jump back in. Thought we knew what we were talking about in Vegas. Then I remembered a couple of times I spent in Vegas, I didn't win any money, and I didn't win any again, mate. Did not win again. Reece Walsh, first try scorer into the Broncos 13 plus, not even close. No,
mate, I listened to your tip, and then I went, you know what? I'm going to have some of that. Rather than first try scorer, I went any time try scorer. I went doubled it up with the fullbacks. I went Tommy Turbo, Reece Walsh. I mean, who could lose?
Yeah.
Any time try scorer into Broncos 13 plus. Absolute nightmare.
Yep, no good.
Reece Walsh got a...
Tommy Turbo drops it over the line, but the Broncos were never winning 13 plus.
All right, mate. Penis of the week. What do you got?
The penis of the week, mate. I am just thinking back through my content at the moment to see who I could really, really sting with the penis of the week. Look, mate, I'm going to jump on the Australian cricket selectors. Guys, look.
Sort it out.
I've given it to the Team England. I've given it to their selectors. I've given it to their players. But I think you're getting it wrong at the moment. I think you need to get it right.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Australian cricket selectors. Penis of the week. Look, mate, I'm going to give it to racism.
Yep.
Just racism. Penis of the week.
Yep. Fair call.
You know, just the whole thing. The whole racism stuff.
Yep.
Penis of the week. If you're a racist, you're a penis.
Yep.
If, you know, you want to write headlines on the back of promoting, you know, or trumpeting racism. Penis. Racism, you're a fucking penis. Rightio. That'll do us, Pod. We're done, mate. All right, anything to add before we finish up, mate?
Nothing from me. Thank you, loyal listeners.
Absolutely. Like, subscribe.
Footy's back. Go Footy's para. Footy's back.
We'll go again next week. Also, too, no football podcast this week. Mm. Yeah, Greg goes away. Yep. Greg goes away. He's got things to do. Yeah, a bit of a bludger this week. But, you know, on a lighter note, we're coming up to our half century next week, Pod.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
Half century. So it's almost a year since
Raise
we kicked this thing off.
Raise the bat. And speaking of another year passing, boy, happy birthday for yesterday, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Mm.
Yeah, kids looked after me.
Always the way.
Can't complain with that.
Yep.
Very good. All right. So for any of our listeners out at Minto, home of the Cobras, we say good night.
And farewell.